Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to begin a brand new series talking about effortless change. And I have a brand new book and study guide out on this. This is a teaching that I have been giving for decades now. And it's really one of the foundational truths that God has shown me. You know, everybody desires to change. Even if you're going in the right direction, most of us have goals and things that we haven't obtained, and there have to be changes before we can see all that come to pass. In my own life, I really believe that I'm exactly on target. I believe I'm right where God wants me to be, but I've got a lot of things God has shown me that I need to accomplish, and there has to be change in order for me to be able to accomplish that. So really, I think that change is something that every single person desires. You know, if somehow or another we could see into the future, and if you could plot where you are right now and say 10 years or 20 years in the future, if the Lord tarries, would you want to be in the exact same spot that you are right now? I believe that most of you would say no, that you have desires to increase and accomplish more and do more things. And so change is something I think that is universal. People desire it. And yet, most people just don't seem to be able to find a handle on change. There's no way to grab hold and to make it come to pass. Most people desire it, and they pray, and they somehow or another are looking for change, but it's just hit and miss. There doesn't seem to be any consistent way to do it. And then this title that I've ascribed to this teaching about effortless change, that sounds like an oxymoron to most people. I mean, to most people, this is just completely contradictory. Change for most people is traumatic. It is a terrible thing. For instance, if you just talk about people changing jobs, people changing their house, people changing their location of where they are, with most people, change is a traumatic experience. And this, title that I've put on it of effortless change just seems like this is impossible. But what I want to share with you is that the Word of God teaches us how to change, and it teaches us how to change effortlessly. And I know that at first people just think that can't be, but I really believe it's because people are trying to change in ways other than what God said. But God built into nature, if you just looked in nature, God built into nature this ability to grow and to change. And of course, this is illustrated in a lot of ways, but you look at a seed. You plant a seed, and that seed changes. It changes from just a little tiny seed. You could plant an acorn that is very small, and it turns into this huge tree that is able to withstand hurricanes and the elements and all of these things. And you talk about a change. Or you could take a mustard seed like Jesus did in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark when he was talking about the mustard seed. And the mustard seed is the tiniest of all herbs. And yet you sow it, it becomes the biggest of all the herb trees. And it's this huge change. You take an apple seed and you plant it, and it produces this tree that produces apples. And I can guarantee you there's not a single person that has ever walked by an apple tree and has heard this apple tree groan and grunt and scream and let out this tremendous pain, and boom, here's an apple. It doesn't come that way. It is the nature of that seed to produce an apple tree that produces apples, and it just comes effortlessly. It's natural. Now, there are things that have to be overcome. If there's a drought, if there's storms, if there's, freezing temperatures, and there are things that are adverse, in a way you could say it takes a lot of effort, but in another way, it's just effortless. It is the nature of that seed to produce apples. And likewise, this is going to be a summary, a simple synopsis of the whole thing that I'll be teaching, that the Word of God is a seed. And if we would take the Word of God and sow it in our life and protect the seed, then the Word of God just changes you effortlessly. It's automatic. It's just natural. The Word of God will produce after its own kind. If you take the Scriptures concerning healing and meditate on healing, it will produce healing in your body. And I'm going to go through a number of Scriptures and show you things like in Proverbs chapter 4 that the Word of God is health to all of your flesh and life to those that find it. Psalms 107 verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. And on and on and on the Word goes with promises about how that the Word of God will produce healing. And yet, see, most people that need healing in their body, they don't approach it from this standpoint. What they do, they go and they pray and they cry out to God emotionally, passionately, and they ask God to heal them, and they will get other people to pray, and they will start fasting, and they will start doing things trying to affect healing. You know what? If you go about it that way, that's the hard way, and that's the reason that it is so traumatic and it's so hard, and people come all of the time saying, what do I have to do? Man, I fasted, I pray, I go to church, I'm paying my tithes, I'm doing this and this and this, and they tell me all of the things that they do, and it's just like they're running after a miracle. Their tongue is hanging out. They're out of breath. They're, God, what do I have to do? You take the seed. And if you were to take the promises on healing and meditate in them and take the gospel instead of just some pill from the doctor, if you took the gospel morning, noon, and night and meditated in it, the Word will just effortlessly change you. It will produce health in your body. It will be health to all of your flesh and life to those that find it. Proverbs chapter 4. And see, this is the way that God has ordained change, is for us to take these seeds, these truths that are in His Word, and we meditate in it day and night, and it produces results. Let me start with the passage over here in Joshua chapter 1 and just make this same point again. The book of Joshua, of course, is after the death of Moses. Joshua became the new leader of the children of Israel. Moses led them right up to the promised land, but he died and didn't take them into the promised land. So Joshua's job was to replace Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel and go in and conquer the land of Canaan and give the Jews their possession in the promised land. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this, but if you just think about this, I mean, the shoes of Moses are pretty hard to fill. How do you take over for a guy who called, you know, and said, if these people die a natural death, then you'll know that God hasn't spoken by me. But if something supernatural happens and the earth opens up and swallows these rebels alive into the pit, then you'll know that I'm God's messenger. This is in Numbers chapter 16. And the earth opened up and swallowed them and everything that belonged to them into the earth. And then it closed upon them again. And Moses is the guy who came down and his face shone. Moses is the guy who held his rod out over the Red Sea and parted. I mean, on and on we could go talking about how powerful Moses was. And here comes Joshua to replace him. You know, it's just, it would be natural that people would not put him in the same category as Moses. And yet in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord is telling Joshua, He says, as I have been with Moses, that's exactly the way I'm going to be with you. And I'm not going to go on and read all of this, but in the first couple of chapters here, the Lord told Joshua, He says, all right, today I'm going to begin to magnify you in the sight of the people so that they will know that I have been with you the way that I was with Moses. And one of the ways that He did that is when they entered into the promised land. It was during, you know, the rainy season. The Jordan River was out of its banks. And the Lord told Joshua, He says, you tell the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant and go stand in the river. And when they got up to about their ankles or their calves in the water, then the waters of the Jordan parted and the children of Israel walked across on dry land to go in to the promised land. And so very similar to what happened at the Red Sea, God parted the rivers of Jordan, and He said, the reason I'm doing this is to magnify you, to put authority and validate your ministry and let the Israelites know that I'm with you the way that I was with Moses. And so this is what the first few chapters of the book of Joshua are about. And He's telling Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Don't let these people discourage you. And how is it that he accomplishes this? How is it that Joshua changes from a person who for 40 years had served the man of God to now being the man of God? Boy, that is significant. Some of you have never been in a leadership position, and you've never had to make this mental change on the inside where you go from being the follower to the leader. But I tell you, that is change. And that change has to take place in your heart before you can assume that position. I'm sure that there are people watching this program right now who God is opening up a door for you and calling you to a greater position of leadership, and yet you've got to change the way you see yourself on the inside. You've got to change your attitude from being a follower to being a leader. You've got to change your confidence level from being, well, it's not my responsibility, to now everything is my responsibility, and how are you going to handle this? And I tell you, this is one of the reasons that people fail. Not because they don't have the ability, not because God hasn't called them, but because on the inside they have not changed that image. And the image, the way you see yourself functioning, the level to which you see yourself functioning, will be like a governor, a limiter on you that will stop you at some place. And this is what the Lord spoke to me in 2002 about how I had limited what God could do with me through my small thinking. And the Lord told me to take the limits off of Him. And when I did that, my whole life, my whole ministry, everything in my life has dramatically changed. I mean dramatically changed. I've got an entire teaching series on all of that. But see, this is exactly what Joshua was going through. You talk about change. Joshua was experiencing huge change. And how did it come to pass? There's a lot of things that he said here, but I want to point out in verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now again, if you take this and put it in its context, and if you see how dramatic the change is in Joshua's life, in his position of leadership, in his realm of influence, I mean, this is dramatic. This is huge. And how do you accomplish it? The Lord said, "This book of the law." At that time, there was only 5 books of the Bible. Moses had written Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And at that time, this is all that he had. And yet the Lord was saying, this book of the law, these 5 chapters, or what the Jews call the Pentateuch, this book, you have to meditate in it day and night. You speak it out your mouth. You keep it in front of you. Now, of course, today we have also the inspired Bible. We have all of these books, 66 books in the Bible. And we could substitute or put into here that not only this book of the law, the first 5 books, but this Bible shall not depart out of our mouth. But we need to meditate in it day and night. And if we will do that and observe all that is written in it, it says, then we will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Everybody wants the prosperity. Everybody wants the success. Everybody wants this change. Everybody would love to see God increase them and give them more influence, and so that their life could make a bigger impact, and so that they could live more abundance, and that they could walk in more victory and power. Everybody wants these results. But I'm telling you, there is not one out of 1,000 Christians who is taking this approach to the change. You want this goal, but most of us are just wishing and a hoping and a praying. We're expecting fate to just supernaturally move us that direction, and it's just somehow or another going to come to pass, and we don't know how, and we're going about our way and just goofing off and wasting our time. And we aren't taking the Word of God and meditating in it constantly, and yet we want the results. This makes it very specific. It says, then you make your way prosperous. Then you have good success. Then what? When you have meditated in this Word day and night, when you take the seed and you plant it in your heart and you let this seed produce. I'm telling you, I'm going to be spending a number of weeks here just trying to get this point across, that God's Word is a seed. And if you want prosperity, The seeds for prosperity are in this Bible. And if you would take those seeds and meditate on them, that's how you plant them in your heart, then those seeds would spring up and it would begin to start producing prosperity and it would just come to pass. I know some of you think that, I can't believe that. I can't believe that just reading the Bible and reading scriptures about prosperity is going to make me prosperous. No, I have to have a master's education. I have to have a connection here. I have to have a super product to be able to sell. And we're looking for all of these natural things. But I'm telling you that the seed of God's Word will make you prosperous. And then you will have good success. It's really how it works. Now, I'm not saying that God won't give you a creative idea, but it will come as a byproduct of meditating in the Word and putting God's Word first. You know, I wished I had the ability. I've read things about this, but I wished I had all this information on the inside of me that I could spit this out to you and prove it to you. But I've read lots of documents and different things about inventions. And some of the inventions that have changed the world, some of the medical discoveries and just all kinds of things, industrial revolution and all of these things, some of the great scholars and scientists like Newton that came up with the law of gravity. Of course, he didn't create gravity, but he was the first one to express this as a law and some of the things that he did. Did you know that the vast majority, again, I wished I had the ability to show you this specifically, but I just don't have those figures in my head. But the vast majority of scientific breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs in things, all of the stuff that has made our life so far superior technologically compared to previous generations, the vast majority of those discoveries and inventions came from people who were God-fearing people, who meditated in the Word. And as God influenced them, then that caused these reactions and these things that have impacted our everyday life. Now, I know that there are some people who are going to argue with that and say, oh, that's not so. But again, I've seen a lot of statistics. And I mean, for instance, you could go back to the Reformation that happened around 1500. Martin Luther and all of this. And when the Reformation broke people out from under the religious system of the Catholic Church, the bondage, and people began to start studying the Word, they started putting the Word into the languages of people. And the Reformation, the Protestant, allowed people to start reading the Word, and people started doing this. There came an industrial revolution that was a direct result. I just recently saw a thing on television that was not a Christian program. It was a secular program discussing about five of the major things that have changed the history of the world, and it listed the Reformation as one of the dominant forces in the history of the world because it opened the Word of God up to the average person. As people begin to study the Word, have personal relationship with the Lord, then the Industrial Revolution broke out. All kinds of things happened. And again, somebody else could probably verify that and make that point better than I am. But again, I'm saying that, see, when you meditate in the Word of God frees you up. It takes us away from these religious traditions and doctrines of men that make the Word of God of no effect. It causes you to start thinking bigger. It causes you to start thinking outside of the box. Things start happening. And if you would take the Word of God and plant these seeds in your life, these seeds would produce the change effortlessly. The only effort is really to just discipline yourself, to turn off all of the things of this world that occupy so much of our time and put your effort into meditating in the Word day and night. And if you would do that, then change would come effortlessly. You know, let me give you a personal testimony that back about, I started on television in 2000, and I knew that we were moving in that direction, and it was somewhere around 1996 or 97. I just saw television on the horizon. I knew it was going to be infinitely more expensive than the radio ministry that I'd had for 25 years. And I saw that we were going to need huge influx of money. and I was just barely getting along where I was. And I just, it was a revelation from God that I needed to start getting my attitude straightened out in this area of finances. So you know what I did? Based on this exact teaching I'm giving you, I went to the Word of God. I took scriptures about prosperity, about 100 of them, and I put them on my computer. I made a file, and I just put scriptures about prosperity. And I would go through, and I would read those scriptures, and I would meditate on them. And most of them, I guess nearly all of them I had heard before, but I took them out of context, put them all in one place just so that I could get the maximum impact. And I started meditating on these scriptures. And for about 2 years, I just took these scriptures and I meditated on them. Even though I knew these scriptures, I would read them over again. I would pray and ask God for new revelation. And for about 2 years, there was virtually no change in our finances. We were limping along. There was times that my board even told me that they were going to close the ministry down because we were bankrupt on paper. But I just kept meditating on the scriptures. And anyway, it's a long story. I hadn't got time to give you the whole thing on today's program. But as I meditated on these scriptures, there came a time that I invited this man, Pastor Dean Melton from Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been going to his church for about 22 years every September. And I invited him to come into our school and teach on prosperity because he had a revelation of prosperity. I saw it working in his life. I saw it working in the lives of people that were in his church. I knew that he had something working in his life in this area of prosperity that I didn't. And so I invited him in. I took a legal pad of paper. I sat down, and for 2 days I listened to him, and I was going to copy down everything he said, and I was going to learn what he needed to know. And you know what? After 2 days, I had never taken a single note. He didn't use one scripture that I hadn't been meditating on. He didn't say one thing that I hadn't already heard. But you know what? It changed my life because Pastor Dean Melton believed it in a way that I didn't believe it. I had the knowledge, but for whatever reason, I believe it was really tradition and doctrine of man that had taught me basically that Christians aren't supposed to prosper, that we're supposed to be poor, and that those traditions were voiding the Word of God. But through Pastor Dean Melton, I saw some things. I grabbed hold of these truths. I started believing God, and I guarantee you our finances exploded. And some people think, well, man, I need this guy to come into my church. But you know what? It wouldn't have had the same impact if I hadn't have planted the seed for 2 years, been meditating on these words. And I just, it's like I had all of this fuel there, and all I needed was a spark to ignite it. And see, some people only hear a testimony like this and think, well, I need this person to come do something. But if you haven't been meditating in the Word, then change is not going to come effortlessly. But see, I'd been meditating in it, and because of that, the Lord was able to take that. And our finances now are probably 100, maybe 200 times as great as they were back in 1996. I tell you, this is how powerful the Word of God is. And if you need financial miracle, or if you need a healing, or if you need relationships, or if you need skills to learn how to get along with people, whatever you need, the seed is in this Word. If you will plant it in your heart, then change will come effortlessly. You know, I'm out of time today, but I'm going to continue to teach on this. As I said, we're starting a brand new series. I've got a brand new book and study guide out on this. Please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Effortless Change is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or, if you prefer, order this entire series on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Transformed by the Word free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Karis Christian Center, October 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, November 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set everything free.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.